This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Jasmine Crichton.
Let's talk today about an article we saw on the Pointer website. It's got the headline that a study found political journalists opt for stenography over fact-checking during presidential debates. This piece was written by Craig Silverman. He says, during the 2012 U.S. presidential debates, political journalists on Twitter primarily repeated candidate claims without providing fact checks or other context. And that's according to new research published in the International Journal of Press and Politics. I don't know. It seems like things are happening so fast during a presidential debate, any debate, really. If you are tweeting out that information, unless you really know the subject, how can you really provide any sort of fact-checking or context? It seems like that would happen in the follow-up. That would be my thought. What do you think, Jasmine?
Well, when you are live tweeting an event, I think it's clear to most – I hope it's clear to most people that you are putting out what's happening or what was said, but maybe you haven't obviously had time to fact-check it, because it would take a whole team to be able to do that, and then you wouldn't be able to get out whatever this person said right away, which is the whole point of Twitter, is to get something out right as it's happening. And like a presidential debate, you are live tweeting that, so whatever this candidate is saying, you just put it out there. While I do understand that we're probably putting out misinformation when a candidate says something about another and we haven't fact-checked it, so we're not really sure, I think that in this case, under a live tweeting circumstance, I think it's okay to just put that information out there and then afterward do the fact checking and do a bigger story about whether or not someone was correct in what they said about someone else.
Lisa, somebody actually put together a team to mm-hmm. fact check as the debate was going on and tweet out information. Is that correct?
The Associated Press Wire Service had six or more people sitting at home or in an office watching the debate and then checking the claims and feeding them presumably to the wire service reporter writing the story, or I don't know if they're sending out tweets too or how that worked. But I think that's the only feasible way you could do the fact checking in a rapid fire debate situation like that. I do think it's, you know, in this case there it's being portrayed as a missed opportunity. You know, candidates make all sorts of claims, and it's journalists' role to check it out and see if they're telling the truth. But as Jasmine said, I mean, there's just not time all the time unless you have some kind of backup team.
Yeah, and in this day and age, the staffs are so much smaller nowadays. I mean, it's going to be very few agencies and organizations that are going to have a team like that out there.
Well, Bill Knight, former panelist on Shop Talk and a commentator on Tri-State's public radio, often talks that journalists are supposed to be reporters, not stenographers. So how do you get around that with Twitter? Can you? Especially when you're live tweeting an event. Are you basically reduced to being a stenographer?
I think when it comes in terms of live tweeting an event, you are reduced to being a stenographer many of the times. If you are trying to put out information later on, then you've fact-checked it. But if you are going to put it out as it's happening, it's very likely that you haven't been able to fact-check it. And that's what Twitter lends itself to, is that rapid output of information.
Presumably, they're tweeting it's for people who aren't able to follow it live, and maybe they're following it on a computer. And so they just want the facts or some kind of play-by-play. So yeah, it does raise the question of why tweet during something like this?
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Don't you think most people who are interested in a presidential debate are going to be tuned in somehow and don't need a live tweet of it? But you're saying some people might not have that access, and the only way they can follow it is via a live tweet.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that's why they're doing it, so that people can follow it on a Twitter feed if they can't follow it by watching it or listening to it on the radio or something. So, I also take the author's point. I mean, I guess they found that 15% of the tweets reflected traditional fact-checking, the fact-checking approach of the tweets they studied during these debates. And so that would be a nice you know, if you are following it live and you're also following the Twitter feed, it would be nice to have that kind of supplementary commentary, you know, kind of like, you know, there's some movie channels that will put a little feed on your screen about background information about the movie you're watching.
Sure.
So then you get some more context. So it really would be great if you could get that, if it's but I also sympathize with the journalists who are in the situation of trying to cover it and tweet about it.
It'd be much better if Twitter was used in that way by journalists, where we are fact-checking and whatever happened here, and then we go and reference something and then put it out there. I think Twitter would be much much better used in that regard. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people are using Twitter in just the way that we've talked about previously, where they are just putting out the information as it's happening in front of them. And there might be a staff problem there, where there's not enough staffing to be able to fact check everything. But it also might be a little bit of laziness or maybe a missed opportunity with Twitter. Maybe we should be using Twitter in that way to refute claims and that kind of thing. I think that would be a much better use than just a play-by-play, which is what it's being reduced to.
News organizations certainly do that already. The next day, you'll hear some follow-up. For example, on NPR, here's what this candidate said during the debate, and here's what we found to be the truth. Maybe there's a bit of truth in what the candidate said, and maybe there's a little bit of stretching the truth here. And I think some news organizations also do that with political advertisements. Take a look at what is said and then take a look at what the actual truth is. Is that still helpful, or is that too late the day after a debate to put out information about what was true and what was stretching the truth a little bit during a debate? Have we reached a point where we need to know this right away?
I think people would prefer to know it right away, but I think if you have it out the next day, people will still latch on to it. And it maybe may not go as viral as you wanted it to the day before, but it will still get out there. But it harkens back to what we've previously discussed before. You can be accurate but not truthful.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, we are being accurate with what's happening in front of us right now, but are we telling the whole story? Most likely not.
And the concern, too, is you might not have the same audience the next day as you did during the live tweet. You might have some crossover, but some people who heard the lie are not going to hear the fact check the next day.
True. Yeah, so ideally it would be good to get it live when the debate is going on. But I still think it's worth pursuing afterward. It's a really mm-hmm. good public service. And it's worth noting, you mentioned the political ads. There are websites dedicated to fact-checking, like PolitiFact, to checking the politicians' claims. And so at least then you get kind of a permanent online record for anybody searching online.
All right. With that, we have run out of time for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.